As we always do, every week we make it a priority to check in with a member of the opposition NDP caucus, and this week we are speaking with the energy critic, also the MLA for Calgary Mountain View, Ms. Kathleen Ganley. And first off, Ms. Ganley, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you very much for speaking to me.
Awesome. So I guess the first question is that, as now as the energy critic, first off, your thoughts on being appointed to that portfolio?
Well, I'm incredibly excited about it. I've spent my whole life in Calgary, and I think this is one of the files that's sort of going to define our future as we move forward here in Alberta. There's a lot of challenges, obviously, in that industry, but I think there's a lot of opportunity as well to move forward.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I guess one of the opportunities that we see both, the UCP government as well as the opposition caucus also both saying that there's a real future in hydrogen here. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. We've actually put out a paper on that. We have it up on our website, albertasfuture.ca, and we're currently collecting feedback from people all over the province. We've got lots of comments going on, so I'd urge anyone who has thoughts or ideas to contribute to that.
No doubt. And we know one thing about hydrogen is that there's different types of forms of it. We hear gray hydrogen, we hear blue hydrogen, we hear green hydrogen. And I guess green hydrogen is the interesting one because I believe that comes from non-renewable renewable sources of energy. So do you believe that that's where the future is heading with that? And it seems like even in the Wall Street Journal, if you look at publications, business journals will even say that there's a big future in this.
Absolutely. I think green hydrogen is the future. I think we can pass through blue hydrogen on the way there is probably one of the best ways to get there. But ultimately, green hydrogen, we're creating a very sort of high energy efficient fuel, and we're going to still need those sorts of fuels in the future. So I think there is a huge potential moving forward in that.
Definitely. And also, I guess one of the things I want to ask you about, Ms. Ganley, is the Canadian Energy Center, also effectively known as the War Room. Overall, your thoughts on this? We understand that it took about like $30 to $35 million to establish it, and it says it's out there to correct misinterpretations about the oil sands. Really, what is the purpose of this Canadian Energy Center?
Well, what the intended purpose is, I suppose you'd have to ask the UCP. In my view, it's essentially just a big waste of money. We haven't really seen much come out of there except scandal. They stole the logo. They attacked the New York Times. I think it's an enormous amount of money to be spent with very little result being achieved. I think if you're going to spend money, you should probably know what you're aiming to achieve and have some way to measure that. And that certainly hasn't happened.
No, and fair enough. And if you even look at the roster, some of the staff on there, I know the guy that is running it is a gentleman by the name of Tom Olson, who had actually, he ran against, I believe it was in the Calgary Buffalo riding, which Joe Cece won, and ends up with a pretty nice salary to run that room. So it looks like they may have taken care of their own on this one.
Yeah, there have been a number of appointments that appear to be taking care of their own. I would almost venture to say the only jobs the UCP has created are jobs for friends and insiders.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. If you look at the roster of the War Room, so one could make an argument on that. Also, as well, in terms of oil and gas, we know that one thing is that in terms of the energy file, even though it's more of a municipal affairs issue, we've heard both Rachel and Joe Cece talk about this, and that was the assessments, linear assessment reviews for oil and gas companies. And is that necessarily the way we understand that energy companies are struggling, but is that the way to really try to give these guys a break?
Yeah, I don't really think that that's the best path forward. For one thing, it's essentially downloading those costs onto taxpayers, right? Municipalities are still going to need to operate. They're still going to need to operate police. They're still going to need to maintain their roads. And so that means that burden will be shifted onto individual taxpayers and individual families who can no more afford this than the energy company. And so I think, again, we see the UCP essentially trying to spend other people's money to look like they're wise fiscal managers when, in fact, they aren't.
Okay. And one of the things we want to talk about on hydrogen, too, is that according to the plan released by the UCP government, it would be several years before they got started on the hydrogen. But according to the report that the paper that was shown on albertasfutures.ca, it could start a lot sooner.
I think there is the opportunity to get started a lot sooner. I think the opportunity is much higher than the UCP makes it appear. They're sort of saying that they need 20 years to build the infrastructure for that. That's certainly not what we're hearing from experts in the industry. We think it can get moving a lot faster than that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And right now we also see that a lot of the uses for hydrogen, at least in terms of a fuel, is for more commercial and industrial products. Do you eventually see a future where hydrogen could be used more for residential and, who knows, even one day, knock on wood, cars?
I think that is the intention eventually. As we move forward, I think we're going to see an increasingly decarbonized future. Now, that's not going to happen right away, but as we're looking to transition, we need to be mindful of the people of the province, because that's ultimately who we're working for here. And so we need to keep in mind the sort of long game, and I think you're absolutely right that those are definitely potentials in the future.
And also, because I know it's a hot topic up here because of the Bruce Power situation up in 2009, small modular nuclear reactors. Now, what it was, I understand, is that the government did sign a memorandum of understanding with other provinces to share technology. But I guess for people up here who are hoping that maybe one day a nuclear project could happen, does this help?
Well, I mean, I think it remains to be seen sort of what the future is there. I think ultimately, I'm a big believer in markets, and I think ultimately if we see the correct incentives and investments coming out of government and a willingness to sort of consider what the opportunities are, but also to reconsider those opportunities in the future, we'll be able to see these different technologies sort of able to kind of fight it out in the marketplace and see what kind of ultimately takes over. I don't know that nuclear would be sort of my first direction that I'd go in, because I think there's a lot of difficulties in terms of what one ultimately does with the waste, and there's concerns by a number of individuals. But I think we should be looking at all options, because we are sort of looking ultimately at how to build a path forward in this province.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess one thing I always like to do with our audience is that usually most of the MLAs that we'll talk to from your caucus are from other areas. And we're here in northwestern Alberta, so our listeners can get an appreciation for it. Tell us a little bit about the riding of Calgary Mountain View.
Oh, the riding of Calgary Mountain View. So it's fairly inner city in Calgary, not downtown. We're just north of the river. It's a beautiful riding. It has some of the most engaged communities that you'll find in Calgary. They're well established. The people have active community lives, and they're trying to transition those active community lives to a more online form. I think we're all struggling with that right now, but I'm incredibly privileged to represent that riding and the incredibly engaged people there.
And what are some of the big issues that they talk about? I mean, up here in Peace Country, we know we hear a lot about agriculture, obviously oil and gas, things like that. And what are some of the big issues that you would hear about in an MLA from your constituents?
So oil and gas and energy future is a huge one. I think we heard a lot about pipeline, a lot about jobs as well, because ultimately that's what people are looking for. They're looking for a future for their family that they can build. Certainly we hear a lot about healthcare and education as well, because I think everyone's incredibly dependent on that. But at the end of the day, I think the top of mind issue is ensuring that we have an economy with good mortgage-paying jobs well into the future.
Yeah, definitely. And as I always like to do on the hot seat, I always like to ask a personal question. So when you're not doing the political job, what are some of the things, if you even do have some free time, how do you like to unwind?
Well, I have an almost 3-year-old now, so a lot of my unwinding involves running around playing hide and seek and tag. So that's definitely
that's cute.
Two cats as well. And other than that, mostly reading, reading of various varieties, I would say.
Fair enough. And I also, a couple of friends of mine are constituents in your riding, and they can relate with their 2-year-old son of hide and seek, which closet is he hiding in. So I definitely have some friends who could relate. Ms. Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this week.
Thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me today.
This is Kathleen Ganley. She is the NDP critic for energy, also the MLA for Calgary Mountain View, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.